Thank you for listening, but please be advised that I don't just believe shit I hear on podcasts, and I hope you don't either. Be skeptical and look into things for yourself. If you find that I was wrong about something, the best thing you could do for me is to let me know. You can do that at livingthroughextinction@gmail.com. Please also be aware of the fact that I swear and I don't bleep shit out, so listener discretion is advised. I'm Ruby, and this is episode 105 of Living Through Extinction, a short-to-the-point podcast with science and skepticism, environment and wildlife, and stuff I find important or interesting that I want to learn more about. Today I talk about the Republican border lies, why giraffes have purple tongues, how our perception of the size of the moon works, and some great news in the organ donation area that's really fucking exciting. Too late for way too many, and many so fucking young, but it will help save innumerable people going forward. I'm really excited about this one. If you've joined me before, then thank you for returning. I really do appreciate you. If this is your first time listening to Living Through Extinction, welcome. I hope you find it both fun and informative. And if you're interested in supporting the show, all the possible ways are listed after the final segment and thank yous. Let's start with a basic fact. Biden does not have open borders. There is no chaos at the border with Mexico. Even Republican voters who went down there to see it for themselves ended up admitting that they were surprised to find no action going on. That would be the honest ones who are now saying that their eyes have been opened. That one woman, the one who said she felt like she'd been duped? I'm sorry, lady, you have been duped. But mad respect to you for being one of the few on the right who have the intellectual integrity to admit it. There are still those who went and saw the lie for themselves and just turned around and pretended they were never there. Those are the dishonest ones who just want to believe and spread the lies and don't care at all about what the actual truth is. None of the border shit that Republicans have been riling up their voters about is real. Like, seriously, these aren't little white political lies. This is outright disinformation being made up out of whole cloth by Republican representatives to lie to their constituents about. One of them even tweeted a picture from the mid-20-teens with a supposed caravan of migrants with the comment that this was at the border right now. Do Republican voters not know how to reverse search an image? Or is it that they're so afraid of ever being shown to be wrong about something that they don't dare? Again, this open border policy they keep going on and on about doesn't exist. Biden kept the Trump standards for fear of life when it comes to those seeking an asylum. He just didn't keep the detention centers and the take all the kids away from their parents at the border thing. Standards for entry, staying, and deportation, he kept all of that. Now, this isn't an episode about this, so I'm not going to go into the details now, but maybe for a future segment. But Trump's policies actually led to the increase in asylum seeking from Central America. When his administration cut funding to Central America in order to build his wall, which never got built, things got really bad there, and asylum seekers went up drastically. So he literally caused the supposed issue his cult members complain about. But even with this increase in those seeking asylum because of the Trump administration, things are now in much better condition at the border than they ever were under Trump. Oh, wait, before I provide the facts, get this. Here's what a couple of Republican representatives have had to say recently. Arizona Republican Andy Biggs said that right now is probably the most dramatic surge he's seen at the border in his lifetime. And yet the videos from the border show like the odd person coming up and having their papers looked at properly. And Kevin McCarthy declared the border a crisis created by the presidential policies of the Biden-Harris administration. The fuck? There's always been a border problem. It certainly did not begin with this administration. It didn't begin with Trump either. It just got worse under him. Also, as I mentioned earlier, there are some Republican voters who went to see this surge for themselves and realized the extent of these lies. Here is the truth about the border statistics under the Biden-Harris administration. And they would be even better if Republican voters stopped voting down any and all funding proposed by Democrats. Isn't it wild how the Republicans say that the Dems aren't doing anything when it's them who are stopping them from doing anything in the first place? It's very biblical, isn't it? Let's go off topic with a quick Bible lesson, just for a moment, I promise. You know how the Pharaoh refused to set Moses' people free? Yeah, that wasn't his fault. He decided to free them several times, and every single time, God interfered. God hardened the Pharaoh's heart so that he would not set them free. Then he punished him for not setting them free. If you don't believe me, put me on pause right now and go read those pages for yourself. Pharaoh would have freed them before any of the bad shit had to happen to anyone. God stopped Pharaoh from freeing anybody so that he could send all of his curses, one of which involved the deaths of many children. It's absurdly abusive. Okay, Bible lesson over, but now you understand why their actions remind me of the Bible stories. The Republicans are refusing to allow Democrats to do anything for the border, then calling for their heads for not doing anything for the border. It's straight out of the story of Moses. I bet it's how they can justify their actions in their heads. If it's moral for God to gaslight to reach his goals, then it must be okay for them to do the same, right? I mean, they use the Bible to defend all other atrocities, so why not this one too? Anyway, I'm supposed to be talking about the facts. That first one led to a bit of a tangent. Facts. The Biden-Harris administration has halved the number of encounters at the borders in the last couple years. The number of Cuban, Venezuelan, Nicaraguan, and Haitian migrants have been reduced by 97%. The numbers for all of these went through the roof under Trump. Stop believing the leader of a cult and look at the reality. Facts. The Biden-Harris administration have increased funding to the border by record amounts, and the Republicans tried to stop them from providing a single cent. Stop believing what comes out of their mouths and look at what they're actually casting their votes for and against on the floor. Facts. The funding package signed into law by Biden, which Democrats had to fight Republicans tooth and nail to get through, provides the Border Patrol with $7,153 billion, which is an increase of 17% from the year before. $65 million was included in this package for 300 new agents, voted down by Republicans. $60 million was included for 125 new personnel at points of entry to the country, voted down by Republicans. $230 million was included for technologies such as autonomous surveillance towers, voted down by Republicans. You'd think the Republicans would have been all for all of this, what with their constantly complaining that Biden was doing nothing for the border. But no, they voted against everything. Because they don't actually care about fixing the border. This is a tool. They want to be able to use it in order to keep their people angry. Biden is literally doing more to improve the border than Trump ever did, and they are trying to stop him from doing any of it. And at the same time, they're complaining to their voters that Biden refuses to do anything about the problem. That's how stupid they expect their constituents to be. It's beyond absurd, but that's what you get with cults. Truth just doesn't matter anymore. Only inciting outrage and winning. Trump said that Biden's border policies were causing death and human tragedy. Says the guy who tore kids away from their parents at the border for no legitimate reason, and who is supported by the party who put razor wire in the ocean and stood by to watch kids drown. Really? One more outright lie, which was actually made up out of whole cloth. Ted Cruz's stupid fucking conspiracy theory, which is so easily shown to be false. And yet, I'm willing to bet being believed by all of his voters. There are areas along the border with floodgates. These have to be opened at times to allow an overflow during flooding. They are then closed again. Someone caught a picture at a point when some had been opened, and far-right news outlets reported, completely falsely, that the White House had ordered that these gates be welded open to allow for a permanent crossing point for migrants. Ted Cruz saw an opportunity to use this lie to outrage his constituents. He retweeted it, calling it wokeness. What a piece of garbage of a human being. He knows this is a lie. He knows damn well what those gates are and how they are operated. There's no way in hell that he believed that they had been welded open by the Biden administration. But that's what he's reporting to his voters. They should be disgusted that he sees them as so stupid, but they unfortunately don't seem to have any idea. For Republicans and conservatives these days, it's all about stoking fear of issues that do not exist. There was a time when they were about fiscal conservatism, lower taxes, smaller government, and states' rights. But their plans, which they have put in writing, show they are not about that at all anymore. They pretend they are when talking to the people, but their votes, the bills they present, and the plans that they have put in writing for their next one election show otherwise. They are counting on their voters to not look at the votes that they're casting when it comes to the border issues. What it has come down to is if they agree to work with Biden and fix the border, then they can't keep blaming the border problems on him. Then how would they beat the libs, which is the only thing they care about? These are not the Republicans of prior generations. This party is about Christian nationalism, shock culture, propaganda, and hate. And that's why democracies around the world are watching the US right now to see if theirs will survive. I currently do not have much hope that it will. But maybe, somehow, more people will start to see the truth of what's happening. These voters really need to learn to be skeptical, dammit. This may be a strange question, but have you ever seen a giraffe's tongue? The one time I saw them in real life, I was nowhere near their heads. I was looking up through my windshield going, "Wow, you're cool. Please don't step on my car." As a small group decided to cross the road directly in front of us at the African Safari thing in Ontario, the sign from the beginning that said, "Take your own vehicle at your own risk," flashed through my mind as their feet came down what seemed like centimeters from the front of our van. But I never got to get a good look at their heads and faces. Never mind their tongues. I had to go to Google Images for that. It has to be one of the longest tongues I've ever seen in a creature. They average about 50 centimeters and are also incredibly dexterous. Some say it appears black, but a giraffe's tongue is actually a deep, dark purple. And if you have a chance to get really close, you'd find it has a hard, rough surface. All of these features have a purpose. Their favorite food are the leaves of the acacia tree, which has razor-sharp thorns. The long, dexterous tongue can maneuver its way through those thorns in order to grab the leaves that it wants. It's also used to clean their noses and keep bugs away from their face. The hard, rough surface protects it from light brushes with these thorns. But get this, even if they do cut their tongues, these fuckers have antiseptic saliva. Isn't that wild? But what about that purple-black color? That is a result of the fact that giraffes are mega herbivores. Mega herbivores are gigantic animals that feed on plant life. These creatures have to spend a lot of time continuously grazing in order to keep going. An adult giraffe can spend 20 hours a day just walking from tree to tree, eating between 15 and 75 pounds of leaves per day. During this time, a large portion of their tongue is out, exposed to the harsh African sun. If it were a tongue like yours or mine, it would burn. The part of the tongue which sticks out contains a very high density of melanin, which is a pigment that can take in sunlight and stop the harm from UV rays. The back part of the tongue, which remains in the mouth, is the same pink fleshy color we expect to see in a mammal. But the part that sticks out is that unusual dark color, so as to provide a natural sunscreen for a part of the body that, in most of us, is delicate and soft. I realized I had to do this topic when I found myself unsure about something. My husband had been hanging with some friends, and they were talking about how small the moon is on some nights and how huge it is on others. My first instinct was to say, "Does the axial tilt have anything to do with it?" Then I thought about it, and that didn't make sense for some reason, though I wasn't sure why. After that initial thought, my mind went to the irregular orbit of the moon, so it actually is closer some of the time, right? Somehow I couldn't quite see how that worked either. So that was it. I obviously don't know the actual answer to this. I'm just guessing. To me, that means I found something new to learn about, and so today's topic came to be. First, a few facts about the moon. It's tidally locked to Earth, which means that one side is always facing the planet, and the other side is always facing away. It's not rotating. The one side stays looking directly at us as it goes around. How much of this is visible to us has to do with where the sun is in the sky in relation to the moon. When it's shining full on the Earth-facing side, we get a bright, full moon in the sky. As the month goes on, the illuminated part of the moon shifts until only a sliver of it is lit. Remember, the moon is always there and facing us. It's just most of the time we only see the reflection of the parts that are lit. We are spinning, making a full turn every 24 hours, and the moon is orbiting us at about once every month. So to our eyes, it seems to be moving very fast. When it first appears to supposedly rise, it appears in the west, and it will appear to rise about 50 minutes later every day. Its location in the sky will move about 12 to 13 degrees per day. This takes about 30 days to make a complete cycle. And none of this, the Earth axis, the oval pattern of the moon's orbit, none of it causes the moon to appear larger or smaller. Because that shit is all a trick of our minds, and we can prove it to ourselves with simple tests. My instincts were wrong. My husband and our friend's instincts were wrong. None of us hit on the real thing. None of us even came close. The moon illusion, yes, there's a name for it. The moon illusion is something astronomers have discussed for centuries. Outside of the professional field, though, there have been a lot of myths. One is that the atmosphere acts like a lens, and it magnifies the moon. So when it's near the horizon, the light has to travel through much more atmosphere than when directly overhead. This is untrue. The air does act like a giant prism and will bend the rays of light, distorting the shape and color, but it does not magnify in any way. Another myth, which I actually considered before looking into all of this, is that it looks larger when it's closest to the planet. It has an oval root, so obviously it's sometimes further out and sometimes closer in, right? I thought that one made sense, but nope. The oval isn't super long and thin like I pictured it. It's more of a stout oval, like a circle that was just slightly pulled outward, but just barely. The moon is never more than 15% closer than its furthest point, which is way too small a difference to explain how much larger it appears at some times compared to others. The truth of the matter is the moon is so far away that no matter where from Earth it's viewed from, or what time of day, it always looks the same size. Unless you have something in your field of view with it to provide a different perspective of it. Think of forced perspective in photography. We all understand how by using different distances for the subjects and altering the angles that the shots are taken from, we can make it look like we're holding up the Tower of Pisa or take a shot of two people the same size, but one appears to be much larger than the other. Our view of the moon is the same thing. Our mind judges how large or small the moon is based on the familiar objects we see it with. That's why it appears to be so large when on the horizon. The best example of this I saw was with a house. If you're directly outside a large house and you see the moon alongside or just above it, then the moon will appear normal or smaller. We may not be able to change our actual view of the moon because of the great distance, but we can change our actual view of the house because it's right here with us. So if you go off several miles but still have a view of the same house, your actual view will change so that it appears smaller. But your actual view of the moon remains the same at all times. So now when you see the moon next to the house, it looks immense, when really your view of the house changed, while the view of the moon never did. Get it? Maybe you're quicker than me, but it actually took me a bit to wrap my head around this whole thing. Because to my memory, I've seen the moon look enormous and close at the end of the street on my way to work, and I've seen it look tiny and far away when working in my yard. It all came together for me when I realized that I've never seen it appear large when in my yard, and I've never seen it appear small when it's at the end of the street, on the horizon, amongst the buildings in the distance. It all makes perfect sense, and I love it when shit makes sense. I found another test that's a bit simpler than using a house from close up and far away. Anyone can do this, and I will be trying this out all summer. When the moon appears to be huge and closer than usual, hold your hand with a straight arm. Close one eye and see which fingertip just barely covers it. When the moon is at a higher point in the sky and appears to be smaller, do it again. It may appear to be smaller to you, but the same finger will just barely cover it, just as before. No matter how large or small the moon appears to be, this will continue to work, because it's all a fucking illusion. I love it. Perspective, baby. I can't wait to test it out this summer with my own eyes, and I can't believe it took me until I was 50 to learn this one. Liver disease is the worst, especially when it hits a child for no fucking reason other than genetics. There's a chronic organ donation shortage, and livers are no exception. Many die while on the list waiting for their turn. Many livers donated turn out to be already damaged and unsuitable for transplant. Some get damaged in cold storage, and all of these factors limit supply. The ways to address this are to either increase the availability of donated organs or to figure something else out. Of course, there are groups of researchers all over the world working on ideas for this, but there has been a major breakthrough in both of these areas that could change the game in organ transplantation in not just livers, but other organs as well. To be clear, the work to date and the proof of concept has been done with livers, but building on this work is going to bring some amazing shit. The bile ducts in the liver are its waste disposal system. When it comes to liver failure, 70% of child transplant patients and about one-third of adult transplant patients got there as a result of malfunctioning bile ducts. And the scary thing is, even after a successful transplant, The new liver can end up also having bad ducts over time, resulting in up to 1/3 of liver transplant patients going on the list again, many not surviving long enough to receive that second surgery. As I've mentioned before, we get to the greatest discoveries over time as today's researchers build off of what yesterday's researchers discovered. This is no different. A group of scientists at the University of Cambridge used the new perfusion system, which helps to maintain integrity of donated organs while they are outside of the body, to work with donated livers considered to not be adequate for transplantation. The goal was to find a way to repair these damaged donated organs and make them usable again, which would automatically increase supply, which is a big fucking deal. And they've done it. For the first time ever, it's been shown that the human liver can be enhanced or repaired using lab-grown cells. A major part of their work was the discovery that biliary cells from the gallbladder, which tend to be spared from bile duct disease, could be converted into the cells of the bile ducts. So they grew cholangiocytes from the gallbladder and, using a new technique called single-cell RNA sequencing, created organoids in the lab. Organoids, also referred to as mini-organs, are small groups of cells that mimic an organ's function in a laboratory setting. Using the perfusion system to work with the damaged donated livers, they injected these organoids into them. The organoids engraft and repaired the damaged bile ducts, allowing the liver to now be capable of functioning properly. It is no longer damaged and now actually viable for transplant. This is the first time this technique has been tested on a human organ. It's demonstrated that a cell-based therapy can help to restore damaged donor livers. This could drastically increase the number of liver donations which will actually be usable for transplant. Now that there's been success with donated organs, the work continues. The ultimate goal would be to be able to do these repairs on an individual's own organ rather than a donated one, to just replace the malfunctioning or damaged ducts when they occur. This may actually be a thing someday if theocracies don't shut down all scientific progress. The best part is these methods can be applied to a range of organs and diseases. We're talking major game changer here. More researchers will be building on all of this, and we'll be seeing a lot of progress in other organ donation areas very quickly now. This research was supported by the Cambridge Biomedical Research Center, the European Research Council, the National Institute for Health Research, and the Academy of Medical Sciences, and was published in Science. That is all for today. My sound area is still not as muffled as it should be. I don't get a lot of time to work up here, but it's making progress every week, and I will get there. Please join me on the YouTube at Living Through Extinction. There are 50 skeptical videos between 1 and 4 minutes long to be viewed now, and when my new space is ready, I'll start putting those out again. Thank you for joining me. May your health and sanity continue to be replenished daily. My eternal gratitude goes out to the following people. Jason Martin for helping me get started on this project more than 4 years ago. I wouldn't be doing this right now if not for him. Kathy Rayner for her musical contribution on the violin. Paul Palmer for his musical contribution on the guitar. He can be found at WPG Suitcase Drummer on Instagram. Dustin Harder for composing and recording the intro and outro for the show. You can find him on Instagram at Prairie Soul Music. And of course, thank you to my Palmer family, and congratulations to my son, who moved out of our family home for the first time and is doing amazing. I'm so fucking proud of you, my boy. I hope you all choose to join me again in 2 weeks for episode 106 of Living Through Extinction. If you enjoy Living Through Extinction and would like to support the show, the best ways to do so are to subscribe and rate and to comment and like positive comments on your favorite podcast player, or you can help out by following, liking, and sharing on all the social medias. The show can be found under Living Through Extinction on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Pinterest, and TikTok, and under LTE Pod on Blue Sky, Hive, Tribal, and Twitter. There's also a Patreon at patreon.com/livingthroughextinction. There you can earn stickers, pins, masks, and more, as well as help me plant some trees. If you have any comments, corrections, questions, or suggestions, please email them to livingthroughextinction@gmail.com or message me through one of the social medias.